I'm Holly Braddock, registered nutritionist, nutrition nerd, and chocoholic. I use functional nutrition to help motivated women go from surviving to thriving so they can experience massive shifts in mood, energy, and productivity. Achieve deep healing and reach your highest potential by ditching the diet and tuning into your body's needs. This podcast brings you actionable tips on how to optimize your physical and mental health. I pick the brains of female entrepreneurs in the KW wellness community so you can get empowered to take charge of your health and love your life.
Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Dion.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
Yeah. So Dion Thompson is a life coach, mom, artist, and recovering people-pleasing perfectionist. That's a mouthful. Her mission is to help busy women end the battle with their inner critic, confidently make themselves a priority, and find authentic happiness. She believes in the power of our shared stories and authentic connection. Through her one-on-one group coaching, women's circles, workshops, and events, she uses unique intuitive practices along with data-driven strategies to help her clients awaken who they really are, embrace their inner woman on fire, and ignite their awesomeness. Does that about sum it up?
Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you.
Amazing. Okay. So I know that coaching is not your first career and you had spent over 15 years in education. So what inspired you to become a life coach?
That is a great question. Yes, I was in the education field for a really long time. And, you know, as we age and evolve, things happen, life happens. I had two beautiful children. I also had four breakdowns, breakthroughs. Sometimes I try to refer to them as breakthroughs because that's really what transpired for me. Mm-hmm. And through the process, I realized that I had been a sort of a long-time sufferer of anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And I realized that that wasn't going to stop this sort of pattern I was in, this habit of living this sort of life wasn't going to end unless I decided to do something about it. And I had sought out coaches and mm-hmm. I had been following inspirational gurus, if you will, people who really resonated with, or really resonated with me, excuse me. And I realized that I had to be the one to make these changes. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I would say got stuck on is I need to know how things work. I'm a bit of an investigator in that sense. I read a lot of books. I read a lot of books and I'm like, how does this work? How does this work? Yeah. So I needed to go out and figure out how all of these people were just making these shifts and making these changes with their lives. And you know, I needed to be more than just the secret. Mm-hmm. I needed to have a little bit, I guess I needed more evidence. My science background kind of maybe I was leaning on that a little bit. Okay. You know, we tend to lean on things we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So, I started doing some research, and fortunately for me, I uncovered some really great biological systems that aligned with how you conceive, believe, achieve, according to the law of attraction. And, once I started to make these really simple shifts in my awareness and my thoughts, I noticed massive shifts in my life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I can't be the only one that knows this. I really felt mm-hmm. like I was really late to the game. I looked around and went, all these people seem to understand, but the people in my world, my friends, my colleagues, the women I was coming in contact with, it's like none of us knew this big secret, mm-hmm. this power that we had on how to actually use our brains to create the lives that we want and actually be happy. Like that was, seemed so elusive. And so my education background and my desire to like scream all this greatness from the rooftops led me into the coaching world. And so I went and, you know, I received some certifications and it really complements my, I guess, more structured and formal education. Mm-hmm. And I just like to be out there and connecting with people and having conversations. And so it coaching naturally evolved for me. I think I was kind of doing it before I knew I was doing it.
Okay.
And then now I'm super excited to be, this is sort of the mainstay. This is my life. This is what I want to be doing. And I want to be educating and supporting and helping women to understand how they already have the power in this very moment mm-hmm. to make the changes they want to make. That it isn't like super complicated. It's just something that requires your attention consistently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And coaching or any support or advisor, you know, we're here sort of to be part of the journey. And that's how I look at it. I really want to be part of that journey with people I help, I guess.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I mean, I feel like a lot of people in a helping profession such as yourself or myself as a nutritionist, we end up coming into our profession by our own healing journey. So it's always interesting to hear the story behind like what really inspired you to take that step towards healing yourself. And then once you get there yourself, you're more inspired to heal others. So you really just want to share that knowledge and that power to help people rise up.
Absolutely. It's a little bit of a, I don't say slippery slope or catch 22. I don't know what analogy I need here, but you know, we are helpers and I am a sort of reformed fixer saver as well. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, I gained a lot of skills in my before times life on how to fix people. Now I really look at it differently about being with someone as they go through their journey and as they gain more awareness. And I am not an expert. I am knowledgeable. I've got mm-hmm. tons of information and I have a great capacity to listen and hold space. So for me, I think what I needed was someone who wasn't going to tell me how to fix myself or wasn't going to tell me what I needed to do, because I would push hard against that. So I find it super important that everyone feels, all the women that I work with feel that they are the ones making the decisions that are best for them mm-hmm. in whatever they're going through, and that I can be with them to offer shifts in perspective and new information and a way to move forward when, you know, it gets muddy. So,
yeah. A lot of people come to me because they feel stuck. And I'm using air quotes here that you cannot see because this is a podcast. But yeah, they feel stuck. And I mean, that applies whether it's someone that is going for life coaching and feels stuck in general with their life, or usually obviously my people are coming to me because they feel stuck with their health. And I mean, part of it is their life too, right? And their health is impacting their life and vice versa. Yeah. And they feel like they've tried all these different things and they're just feeling lost and like, you know, help me get unstuck and what do I do next? So they're really looking for that guidance. But I think part of what we have to do is really, you know, draw that out of them. And instead of, like you said, like I'm not here to really prescribe things. I'm offering solutions, but we have to find out what works best for you. I'm not going to say the same thing for every person, because what works for one person is not going to work for everybody.
Right. So. It's funny. I mean, no one likes to be, you know, get a finger pointed at them and have someone say, you know what your problem is, and let me tell you how to fix it. Like, yeah. I don't know one person, one grown up, I don't know any children, anybody who likes that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us in these spaces where we have so much to give, it really is a relationship of reciprocity that creates the most impact. And so it's interesting. It's kind of like a fine line between stuck and ready, you know? So some people are super stuck and they want to be fixed, but that path can only go so far. Before, you know, each of us has to sort of step up and take responsibility and mm-hmm. take ownership of our solutions. Right. So,
yeah. And the people that I work with, that when they come in and they're the kind of person that wants me to fix them, they're not usually the kind of person that succeeds in achieving their health goal, because they usually aren't ready. They're just saying, I need you to fix me. It's like, no, I'm here to provide you the tools, but you still have to implement them, and you are fixing yourself. Not that you need fixing, but you're working on growing and healing yourself. I'm just helping you guide you in the right direction, basically.
So it's almost like the work before the work that conversation, that shift from, you know, my issues are outside of me to my issues are something within me that I have power over.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's huge. Yes.
And those are the people that do succeed when I work with them and they realize like this is on me to implement these changes and, you know, move forward rather than having someone fix me, so to speak. Those are the people that do succeed with their health goals, I find.
Absolutely. Y'all heard that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
How are you handling everything that's been going on lately? Are those cookies in the cupboard calling your name? And once you start eating them, do you have a hard time stopping? And then you feel guilty after. Find out why you have these cravings and what you can do about it in my free webinar that's coming up on Tuesday, March 31st at 3 p.m. We're going to talk about mental health versus optimal mental wellness, because there's a huge difference there. I wish someone had told me years ago that there's more to mental wellness than just meds and counseling. I'm going to share my journey and how I ultimately found a holistic mental wellness approach that allowed me to not only feel stable, but happy, excited, and alive again. So this is a free webinar. We're going to talk about everything mental health in terms of anxiety and insomnia, depression, and feeling overwhelmed. And you're going to get actionable strategies that you can use for both emotional issues and physical symptoms of anxiety, such as insomnia, that you can start implementing that day. So there's very few spaces left. It's a max of 25 people. So to join us for the webinar, head to the link in the show notes and I'll see you then.
So I've heard you say it the way you want it. Can you tell me more about that?
Absolutely. So that is pretty much one of my favorite things to say. I'm not surprised that you heard it. So say it the way you want it is really sort of a mindset mantra that I use for myself, with my kids, my husband, and my clients. The idea is that when you focus on what it is that you do want, you can train your brain to see more of it and bring more into your awareness. So the biology I was alluding to in the previous question, this sort of idea of how is it that, how do we actually, you know, manipulate or live inside of the law of attraction, and how do we manifest what we want? And there is a part of your brain that actually filters out all your information. So, you know, you are probably aware, and I'm not sure if everybody knows, but you're being bombarded with like 11 billion bits of information per second.
Yes.
That's intense, right? And it gets more every day as, you know, the world expands digitally and electronically. And so from all your external, all your senses that are receiving external information, all the senses that are receiving internal information, you got to be processing this. And there's no way that you're going to be aware of everything that's happening. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
The brain can't handle that. So the idea that, you know, your brain, you only use 10% of your brain. Well, no, you use 100% of your brain, but you're only aware of 10% of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So your awareness is very small compared to what you're receiving. So I have sort of equated this to like a Facebook algorithm. So for those of us who are on social media, we may be aware that Facebook, Instagram, you name it, they use algorithms to figure out what they're going to put into our newsfeed.
Mm-hmm.
So they pay attention to what we pay attention to. They know what we click on, what we like, what we love, what we engage with, what we comment on, all of those things. And they go, oh, okay, so it looks like you really like cats. So I'm going to make sure that your newsfeed is filled with cats. Okay, thanks. Right? So that's the basics of that particular algorithm. There's tons of them, but the idea that there's a computer program running behind the scenes that filters out all the crap and gives you all the cats you've ever wanted. Okay, awesome.
Awesome.
Your brain has a part of your brain called the reticular activating system does the exact same thing. So it filters out all of the crap that you aren't paying attention to. So if you have been paying attention to every cat in your neighborhood, whether you like cats or not, It will make sure you see every cat, you see every cat hair, you hear every conversation about cats. You only notice the ads for cat things on your Facebook feed. Like, your attention, your awareness gets hyper-focused on mm-hmm. what you've decided is important. So you program your own algorithm, you program your brain to pay attention to what you pay attention to. Mm-hmm. So that's the power, right? So if I want to gain more knowledge, money, if I want to see more information about anything, I have to put my attention on that.
Right.
So again, your brain doesn't care what it is. If you're focusing on all the things you don't like, it will make sure it says, oh, this is what we're paying attention to. Great. Let me filter out everything else mm-hmm. and only give you the crap, the stuff that you don't like, because that's what you've asked for.
Yep. So, I know people like that.
and it, you do it no matter what. Your brain is doing this, whether you know it or not, whether you take advantage of this superpower or not. And so the idea of say it the way you want it is use the words that reflect what you want more of in your life. Mm. So saying, I don't want this, I don't want cats, I don't want carbs, I don't want this, whatever that is, you're just asking yourself to see more of that. Mm-hmm. So when you shift your language, which then creates sort of an idea in your mind and it programs this algorithm, if you will, you then can train your brain to see how things are already moving you towards what you want, how they are already working out for you, how they are, you are already surrounded by everything that you need. Because again, 11 billion bits of information are coming at you, and I didn't share this, but you only see about 176 of those.
Oh, wow.
Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. So if you want those 176 to be something you really want, then you need to train your brain to do that. So it's a habit, just like mm-hmm. everything else. So we have habits of language. 90% of the words you used yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. And the thoughts that you think, all 80,000 of them, 90% of those you thought the day before and day before and day before. Yep. So you have to shift gears and intentionally change your language and change your thoughts so that your habit of thinking is aligned with what you actually want. Mm-hmm. That's kind of massive. So that is, for me, the foundation of all that I do. And now when you start to think in this pattern in this way, I see it and I hear it everywhere, right? So I'm always like, oh, and so I reframe things in my mind and I change words when people are talking so that it better reflects what I want. Okay. So for instance, I go to a fitness club and the woman who owns it is phenomenal. I love her. I love everything about her. And she's like nailing it in the fitness world. And she's up there on the bike and she's yelling and doing her thing. And she's like, I know this is hard. And I'm like, no, see, no, hard doesn't work for me. That word does not resonate with what I want. It's focusing on what I don't want, because hard for me is like, I can't do it. So she says the word hard, my brain hears the word challenging. So I'm saying it the way I want it. It's a challenge and I'm good with challenges. I'm happy to look at a challenge and run right through it. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. So every time I shift the language I hear and the language I say and my environment to be focused on what it is I do want, I just create more opportunity for myself. And it took some time, but I want more of that. So I'm so drawn to this that it almost, it makes it easier to make it a habit than trying to push away from something I don't want. Mm-hmm. So I don't break habits. I make habits.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
But I can imagine, because that requires a degree of mindfulness and being aware of the language you're using and the thoughts you're having, that it, you know, with the busyness of our lives, it would be hard to make that shift and to be mindful, you know, more of the time. So what would you say is the biggest challenge for you or your clients when it comes to creating new habits?
Definitely, it's the habit of our habits. That sounds a little bit crazy. So the biggest challenge is making the shifts, and because the inner critic will show up. And your inner critic, however it shows up for you, mine is a woman. Her name is Bertha. I was speaking to a colleague the other day, and we did a chat about our inner critics, and his name is Mike. And so I now just call it because it can be anything. It loathes change. And so when you are working towards what it is that you want, it's going to fight tooth and nail. So the one of the strategies, and I got a couple of strategies on how to work with your inner critic because it's not going anywhere. But one of the strategies to help anchor a new habit is by paying attention to why you're doing it. So we can get really caught up in, I want that thing. There it is. It's big. It's awesome. I want the less this, the more that, the whatever. And we get told, we find out these are the 17 steps you need to follow in order. And you start with this one. And this is the habit you need to do this every day. You need to get up at 5 a.m. You need to, you know, eat this for breakfast, do this, do that, whatever. And we get really caught up in the steps and we get really mired in the hardness of it. And we can get derailed fairly quickly because it's uncomfortable and challenging and difficult to do something new all the time when we've paid no attention to why we're doing it. Now, we have this goal, but the goal, unless it's attached to our center, our reason for being, what matters absolutely most to us, it's got no, doesn't have enough pull. Because it's just a brand new thing. So for me, the work that I do, I'm always like, we need to be super clear on what your internal drivers are, your core values, because they're driving you every day, whether you know it or not. They're your decisions to go left or right, up or down, are based on what matters most to you. And you feel most connected, most whole, and most aligned, and most happy when you are working within your core values. When you are working against them, and often this happens in like workplaces or relationships or anywhere where there's another human, we can feel disconnected when we are not in alignment with what matters most to us. And the thing about values is everybody has them and they're not the same. And that's okay because your values are yours and mine are mine. One is not better than the other. I just need to know what mine are so that I can live my best life. So when I get super clear on my values and I connect that to like why I'm, what is my big why? And so for a lot of moms, your kids are right in there with the big why, but what about your, of course your kids, but what about that? Yeah. What about your experience with them? Is it about experiencing more? Is it about joy? Is it about safety? Is it about loyalty? You know, so there's still values laden inside your why. Now, when you can be super clear on your values and you have a pretty clear picture of why you're doing what you're doing, that drinking the glass of water 30 minutes before you, from when you wake up, if that's a thing, it no longer becomes hard because you can take that step back and go, that's attached to that. And I want that. And that is so important to me. I would jump through fire for that. So drinking a freaking glass of water every day, I can nail this, right? It takes the, it dissipates some of the charge of the experience and it's no longer the, everything's so challenging. It's so hard, you know? And so when, and because you'll run up against fear, doubt, and their buddy procrastination, and you'll fall off the rails and kind of be feeling all limbo and confused. You'll end up right back in those patterns that made you feel crappy in the first place, and around and around and around you go. But when you can focus on the thing that you want, and that thing that you want has is fully aligned with you, every teeny tiny step you take creates an energy pull. Creates a draw. And the every time you do something, and it could be today I drank the water, and or today I did the thing and it was 5 minutes, it was 30, whatever it was, every time you get closer, there's a pull that comes from the thing that it is that you want. Because that alignment, I mean, from a physics standpoint, like, you know, all the magnets are in the right place and it's just pulling you along. it's super powerful. So that is a core piece to wanting, if you want to establish a new habit, then that's something that that's the work before the work, before you even start the thing that you want to do, get super clear on why you want to do it. And then when your Bertha shows up, then, and know that she will, because she did not like change, and she will, and she knows it's coming. Mm-hmm. She'll use every strategy she has, which are totally, totally immersed in shame and pain. And if anyone knows about my superhero, Brené Brown, you may be familiar that.
Oh, I love her.
The antidote to shame is compassion. Mm-hmm. So just in the same way that you would show compassion to someone outside of you, you do the same with your Bertha and things will shift. So if you approach your inner critic with compassion and curiosity, and not to compromise and not to bend and not to break, but to just be present, because chances are, like anybody, she just wants to be heard. Mm-hmm. You go through that and you focus on the love that you have for yourself, not the hatred you have for it. Again, say it the way you want it. And attach yourself to your values, to your why, and continue to take those teeny tiny actions. I put out a blog post today and I was talking about how your inner critic can't keep up with the small steps. Like it's all about derailing your big plans.
Yeah.
But when you just take a little teeny tiny action, it's like, it will miss it because it's too busy focusing on how to knock you over completely. So
I think it's really important, and especially with the small steps, really celebrating each win and like giving yourself a pat on the back, because I mean, it is hard to make new habits, especially when life is so crazy and you do have this long-term goal, but you get there more easily and you're more likely to stay there if you take and build it into small habits that become your new lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Rather than trying to do everything overnight, which is what I tell people. I'm like, this isn't an overnight thing. Like, you're not going to heal your gut or whatever it is. Like, you know, in a week or something, we need to take these small steps and build a new lifestyle. So yeah, I think really patting yourself on the back for every small step is super important to keep that inner critic at bay, but also to keep that momentum and that moving forward, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You had a glass of wine with dinner, but now the rest of the bottle is calling you. If you're turning to alcohol during these crazy times to manage anxiety, it can quickly go from having a glass with dinner to using it as a crutch. Have you ever noticed that the day after, your mood is even worse? What if you could do something for your anxiety and actually feel better the next day instead of worse? In my free webinar that I have coming up next Tuesday the 31st, we're going to talk about the underlying causes of anxiety on both an emotional and physical level, and how we can manage our anxiety in a holistic way instead of reaching for alcohol. We're also going to talk about how alcohol directly negatively impacts your mental health in terms of brain chemicals, and learn about other natural coping mechanisms and supplements that can help. So join me next Tuesday the 31st at 3 p.m. for this free webinar. There's limited spaces left, so head to the link in the show notes to claim yours.
So I'm sure there's some busy moms or busy women out there wondering how they will find the time to build these new habits. So where do you recommend that they start?
This is the core of it. I mean, if I taught one thing in my business and that was it, it would be these three strategies. They're super simple. And the beauty of them is, no matter how intensely you engage with these strategies, how often, they will always have an impact. They will always create a shift. Because every time you do any one of these things, you are no longer the person you were the day before. Mm. And that, I think, is really powerful. So the first thing is connection with yourself. So my number one suggestion is journaling. And so we have some journalers who will be like, yep, I'm on it. And the other people are like, You're kidding me? I don't write. So the thing about journaling, there's intense power when you take this spinning that's inside your head and release it.
Yeah.
We're really good at going over and over and over and over and over and then replaying and doing it differently and replaying it. But what stays the same is the fact that we're focusing our attention on what it is that we don't want. And so in order to get curious and to really be, to almost have the compassion that you are happy to give others, you need to be able to turn that inwards. And often when you are willing to write and start asking yourself questions and being able to see it laid out in front of you, mm-hmm. that changes how you respond, because it becomes a conversation as opposed to a spinning diatribe inside your head. So journaling is sort of that would be my go-to, but any mindfulness activity where you can keep your body moving and your mind can focus on turning inward. So that could be yoga, it could be meditation, it could be working out, depending on what that's like for you. So that's something I strongly suggest. And when it comes to journaling, I mean, obviously, or meditation or even yoga, you know, the time that you do it is the time that you do it. You want to do it for 5 minutes? Great. Do it for 5 minutes. 10, 20, 60, it doesn't matter. Every minute you spend focusing on that act will have an impact. Mm-hmm. So that's number one, connect to you. Number two is to create. So, and again, half the people went, yeah, I don't do art. So I get that. And I too was the person who was like, I can't even draw stick people. Like, seriously, forget about it. And the first, and I, as you said at the beginning, I am an artist. The first piece I ever sold had stick people in it. Irony, maybe, I don't know. The point is, it's the idea is to step outside of your everyday and be willing to be messy. Mm. Be willing to be like the 98% of 5-year-olds on this planet and be at the genius level for innovation. Mm-hmm. So innovative thinking allows you to see and practice shifting perspective. So ultimately, along with your programming, your algorithm, one of the powers that we have that can create the biggest impact is being willing to sidestep our current model of the world and see things differently. But when we get tunnel vision, because we get so focused on thinking the way we always think, mm-hmm. And doing everything the way we always do it, we can miss what's right in front of us, opportunities, ways to solve problems. And that comes with our capacity to think creatively. So pick up the markers that your kids no longer play with and grab a piece of paper and do something, do anything. It can be get in the garden, get your hands dirty. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The idea is give yourself the opportunity to do something that is going to shift into a sort of a creative mindset.
Yeah. And again, vision boards. I love vision boarding.
Absolutely. And vision boarding with abandon, right? Yeah. So I do a lot of vision board workshops and I attract a lot of people pleasing perfectionists and many of them freak out when I'm like, get messy and rip things. They're like, but I need a plan. I need to order. Yeah. And I'm like, no, you need to be able to be present with your creative self. And so, and that's again, a habit. And it's a habit that you can build. It's not about creating a brand new business model or selling all of your products or doing, although if you want to do those things, then by all means.
Yeah.
But it's really about getting into the habit of creative thinking. So when a problem lands, you don't only have one train of thought. You can shift and have another shift and have another shift and have another. It's almost like having a team of brainstormers inside there with you.
Yeah.
And that comes from your capacity to think creatively. So instead of trying to be creative under stress, practice every day, 10 minutes. It could be anything. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So that's number two. Number three is about celebrating. So just exactly what you said. It's almost a little bit deeper though. For me, I want people to, women especially, to recognize that we have a terrible habit of negating our greatness. Mm-hmm. So patting yourself on the back, that, yes, do that. But how? When my entire life, I haven't noticed or acknowledged any great thing that I did. And if I did, I'll tell you it was an accident or it was just something I had to do because I'm a mom, a woman, an employed person. Pick a hat that you're wearing,
yeah,
and you'll turn what great thing you did and just put it out onto that and be like, well, of course, I mean, it's no big deal. It's
yeah.
No big deal, right. And so getting into the habit of celebrating your accomplishments, especially when you want to. So for your clients, you know, if you want them to be acknowledging how they're making small steps, and my clients as well, that's a new thing. So if you know that in your life, you want to make shifts and changes, focus on celebrating what you've already done mm-hmm. instead of trying to start celebrating things that are new.
So you were saying about women, like we just don't celebrate our accomplishments as much as we should.
No, it's not a habit we have. It's not one that's been modeled to us. I mean, we're talking about years, generations of women who have been in the habit of staying small. And in the habit of not acknowledging how they show up in the world and the impact that they have mm-hmm. or we have. And so in order to truly help solidify and anchor new behaviors and have them become habits, we do need to celebrate them. We need to acknowledge them. We need to mm-hmm. put them out forefront so that, and not only that, when you do that, so let's say, okay, I did the thing, I drank the water.
Yeah.
Great. And then I felt good about it while I did it. And then I reflected on it later. And I acknowledge that it was a good feeling and I feel good about myself for having the good feeling. And what that does neurologically is it builds a whole new system around this new behavior. So mm-hmm. you are building and creating this massive framework around a new thought pattern, a new behavior pattern, so that it becomes your go-to. It becomes the habit, right? Mm-hmm. So the previous habits of whatever that was, trigger, wake up in the morning, and then do X, Y, and Z, that right now is like an 8-lane superhighway. It's been run over and over and over again. Whereas this new thing you want to do is super small and tiny and it's got potential and we need to encourage it and we need to revisit it. And when you mm-hmm. celebrate, when you attach positive emotions and really connect it to your bigger why, it becomes this intricate system quickly. Instead of focusing on what it is that you don't want, because then that just creates a really messed up pattern of behavior that mm-hmm. trigger think what you don't want. You have to get past thinking what you don't want, even just to get what it is that you do want.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially like for a client of mine, say they're trying to eat less sugar and eat more vegetables. So a lot of people would be like, you know, they're doing so good for a couple of days and then they end up having a cupcake one day and then they beat themselves up over it. So it's like this right. negative reinforcement, like, oh my God, why did you do that? You were doing so good. I can't believe you fell off the wagon or whatever. Whereas they could have approached it with, what's the word? Just like understanding and been like, hey, I'm only human. It was someone's birthday celebration. It's one cupcake. It's not the end of the world. And,
right.
but, and flip it and be like, you know what? This makes me more, motivated now to stick with my goal going forward because I feel crappy after eating that. And now I know that if I don't eat that much sugar, I'm going to feel good. So like right. more positive emotions attached to that instead of beating yourself up over what you did.
Absolutely. And yeah. flipping to that idea of compassion and curiosity. So if you show yourself compassion, you come in neutral, be like, I love you. You're cool. You're not a bad person mm-hmm. and you didn't even do a bad thing. It was just the thing that's not in alignment with what you want. Let's revisit what it is that you want and why do you want it and why is that important? And then attach all that to it and go, so you can, it's almost like neutralizing what was mm-hmm. and turning your attention and reframing it so that it is exactly what you want it to be. So I eat vegetables because, not because it's not sugar, I eat vegetables because I've noticed I feel this and I want more of that. Why do I want more of that? Because I want more energy. Why do I want more energy? Because it gives me this. And why do I, mm-hmm. because then I'm happy. Duh! Right? So, you know, it's that shift. And that comes from again, celebrating. I did eat a cupcake today and I didn't beat myself up over it. And I thought about what it is that I do want and why that is. Because maybe eating the cupcake at your friend's birthday celebration is in alignment with a different value. Mm-hmm. Perhaps connection is one of your core values and it's something that felt right in that moment. That's why would you want to look at that as a bad thing?
Exactly.
You're right. So yeah. Awesome. So those are my three sort of core strategies. I say they're simple, they're not easy, but they can be done to any degree. So connect with yourself, create where you can, and celebrate as often as possible. Multiple times a day, you should be celebrating yourself. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And you'll see an immediate shift. That's the beauty of these things.
I love that. Yeah. Definitely going to have to implement those in my practice as well, because I feel like a lot of people struggle. That's the main thing with making any kind of change, and including nutrition stuff, which I also do lifestyle as well, but that's where people struggle, is really with the mindset shift. So I think those three tips are going to be really helpful with to implement as well.
Awesome.
Thank you. Well, thanks for joining me on the podcast. I really enjoyed chatting with you and learning about your business. Let the viewers know where we can find you online and what you have going on right now.
Absolutely. So I am on Facebook and Instagram, and you'll find me at Dion Thompson on both of those. And my business is Dion Thompson Coaching. So if you're looking for my business page, you can definitely find that at Dion Thompson Coaching. My website is DionThompson.com, and it's Thompson. We're the dry Thompsons. We got no P.
I like that.
Yeah. So that may help when you're searching. Right now I've been sharing and putting it out to the world that we're doing our second annual 100 Women on Fire event. And I am so, so excited and really looking forward to this. It's on April 25th. And we host it here in Midland, Ontario, which is about 40 minutes north of Barrie, if that helps anybody. And it's a day dedicated to women who are either pre-contemplating or taking action or killing it, moving into saying it the way they want it and creating the life of authentic happiness, whatever that looks like for them. So that could be in your business, sure. Mm-hmm. Very much connected to who you are, because how you do one thing is how you do everything. So our focus for the speakers and all of our vendors is really about helping women to engage with their story and start to rewrite their own personal narrative so that they can make those shifts and achieve the goals that they want to achieve and ignite their awesomeness. That's kind of my thing. And for me, again, my core value, number one, is connection. And so it's so important to me that every woman in the room knows that she is right where she belongs and she is in very good company. So we are all there together to support each other. And last year at our first ever event, it was so powerful to see the relationships that were built right there on the floor. And we're looking forward to seeing more of that again this year. So to get connected with that, it's 100womenonfire.com, and check it out. And I hope to see you there. We are 21 tickets away from our 100 women. So,
oh, wow. Getting there.
Yeah.
Exciting. Well, I hope that goes very well and that everyone enjoys the event and gets a lot out of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks again for joining me today.
Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Hey, if you have 30 seconds to spare, if you could leave me a rating and review in your podcast app, I would greatly appreciate it. It helps women just like you discover my podcast and start their own healing journey. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you next week.